It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on, hey, look, the first day of June 2023. My goodness gracious, what a happy day it is. We are, what, 3 weeks from the beginning of summer? Yeah? Something like that. May is done. A year ago this time, we were enjoying the first and only thus far hornet. Maybe we'll have another one of those someday. Hi, I'm Robin. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. Which didn't post correctly last night, so I just reposted it. So my sincerest apologies. But if you're listening to the podcast, whether you listen at Podbean or Stitcher or Apple Podcasts, etc., 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 wherever you are, please like it, subscribe to it, follow it, make a comment about it, and that helps us to grow our community. And thanks to everybody who does help keep this community going. And thanks for telling your friends and your neighbors and doing all of that. If you're listening live right now and you pop by the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany, you'll be greeted by the early arrivers. That would be Anatole and Irish Dave and Squeaky and Theo. Hey, guys. It's Thorn in the Side Thursday. And, you know, usually Thorn in the Side Thursdays are thorns for us. But, well, after last night, I think the maggots have a handful of thorns themselves. They're probably sitting there popping, festering thorns right now. Ow! Ow! Yeah. And a little bit of scientific research update. I did, in fact, go and get an enchilada last night. I'm so ashamed. And there was no sour cream, and there were no three little ribey sliced black olives. Damn it. I have set off a strongly worded complaint to Yum Brands headquarters. Damn it. Karen would like to speak to the manager. I'm kidding. Not about the enchilada. That was quite good. And yes, Matt in San Francisco. Because last night Matt said, let that person who was without shame cast the first. I did. I bathed it in Taco Bell hot sauce, and it was yummy. Hopefully Enchirito Madness will not take over the program again this evening. What was it, two Fridays ago, somebody ratted me out to PETA? I've been offered the position of official spokesman for Taco Bell, because they're missing out on all the fun. I wish. No, I'm lying. I'm not. But that does go back to something that I'm taking a huge, huge giggle from. The maggots are mad at, wait for it, because this is delicious. The food isn't, but the situation is. Chick-fil-A, y'all. No, really, Chick-fil-A. Jesus chicken. The sacred bird. The bird that fried for our sins. Oh, I'm proud of that one. I'm going to give myself a cowbell. The chicken that fried for our sins. Come on. You don't get that on every other radio program. Especially not off the cuff. It takes teams of writers to come up with stuff like that. And I just do it. No, really. Chick-fil-A has a vice president of DEI. Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Because the purpose of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion vice president and that department is, among other things, to make sure, since they are a capitalist business, even though they're Christians, even so, because they like to make money, and because, well, frankly, Chick-fil-A's reputation is poopy, to quote Jamie Tart from Ted Lasso, it's poopy. And so they're trying to project, but, you know, forward project the idea that they are a place that is inclusive to work and that they have a diverse work culture. Right. And so they have a vice president of DEI, and some neo-maxi Zoom dweeby right-wing influencer named Joey Manarino, if that is in fact your real name. Manarino. No singing. Oh, I didn't do the thank yous. I just jumped right into it. I must have been eager to get on the air. I am. Feeling a little silly. Annette is still across the river. Puffy and Kitty and granddaughter sitting. Hi, Annette. I miss you. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So we say thank you to our first day of the month PayPal subscribers. That means thank you ever so to Rusty. Thank you, Rusty, and thank you to Tom and Sonny San Rafael, and thank you to Mark. And thank you to Joseph. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program and keeping this little near 20-year-old broadcast experience. That's what Joe Rogan calls his little podcast. It's an experience. Going. Thank you so much. Here's the bad news. We finished May not well at all. So the fundraising goal, as of right this very minute, is $1,790. Ouch. But here's the good news. It is the first broadcast day of a new month. And every first broadcast day of a new month, we have Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge. Bruce and Karen are no longer with us. I miss them both terribly. They were lovely, lovely people. But they started Bruce in particular started the first of the month challenge, trying to get us a couple of days grace in fundraising. They passed on, and so now Chris in Germany and Ralphs, thank you, Ralphs, you are such a dear, and an anonymous friend of the program jump in to make sure that they match a day's worth of program funding. $300. So that means, and then, and I did not forget you, Max jumps in and takes care of two-thirds of Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge at the beginning of every month. So here's the good news. If we can raise $100 tonight, we will knock that horrifying goal down to only $11.90. And that would be fantastic. That'd be wonderful. Take a great weight off my mind. So $100 turns into $600, thanks to Max and Chris and Ralphs and our anonymous friend. And that'd get us down to $11.90. And let the bill paying begin again, because a new month is upon us. So thank you, one and all. The PayPal button's over at headon.live. I did the Patreon thank yous on the 30th. Thank you to our Patreon subscribers as well. And, well, we'll see how things go. If you want to sign up for Patreon, that'd be great. We've got 30 Patreon subscribers who help make it possible for this program to exist. Everyone who helps out does. So any help is good help. And, you know, telling your friends and neighbors about the program is wonderful, too. Because we have content here that you just don't hear a lot of other places. Nor do you hear it this way. I mean, come on. I'm still proud of that one. The chicken that fried for our sins. But anyway, back to the beginning. Yes. Chick-fil-A is in the soup. Oh, I've got a million of them. Joey Manarino. Stop it. There's a fundraising hole, Robin. That's where we were, yes. Joey Manarino. I'm going to struggle with this. Recently, well, namely 2 days ago, said, to be clear, Chick-fil-A hiring a VP of diversity, equity, and inclusion just means that their corporate infrastructure will become way less white, way less male, and way less straight. Which means their brand will become way less valuable, and their product will become way less tasty and well produced. Their market share will collapse because their consumer base will shrink. And that's not the isms talking. That's the last 10 years of Hollywood woke movie production talking. That's Bud Light and Target talking. That's our eyes and ears talking. We've all seen what happens when a company goes woke and it never ends well. It won't for Chick-fil-A either. He is a genius, Joey Manananarino is. Well, I'll tell you what, he sure does got a big old mouth full of teeth. Probably born with them. Full set of teeth, just like a beaver. There's only one problem with all of this. And that is that Joey Manananarino is an idiot. He describes himself as a political strategist, an Italian-American, BS in communications. Well, I at least believe that one. And he says his pronouns are shut and up. Oh, do please, Joey. Quiet thy digits. No, there's more than one problem. Joey Manananarino, beyond being an idiot, well, I guess it only became real to Joey Manananarino when he found out that his beloved Christian chicken sandwich had gone woke. That it only became real when he realized it. See, realize, see how it works? The guy who's the vice president of DEI for Chick-fil-A has been an executive with Chick-fil-A for more than a decade. That's the real problem. Uh-huh. And granted, he was only made the Chick-fil-A vice president. I swear, if if they start marketing it as the chicken that fried for your sins, I'm suing, I swear I'm going to sue. Breathe, Robin. He's only been the vice president of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion for a year and a half, 2 years, something like that. Not just last week, but the thing is, he was the coordinator of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, again, everybody, for more than a decade. Oh, he is self-impressed, though.
The bottom line is a company focused on wokeness and forced equity isn't a company focused on making a good product.
Hell, every time I've ever eaten Chick-fil-A, it made me sick. I think it's all the sugar.
When you're a company, your top priority is making a quality product or service.
No, dipshit, and you claim to have a master's degree? A corporation's only job is to make a profit. Oh, but here he comes.
If you're focused on making sure that Jan the Tran feels accurately represented by having the right flag in the window, you're doing it wrong.
We've got three Chick-fil-A. Beckley, West Virginia plays host to three Chick-fil-A's. And you can't get near them because, well, everybody in Beckley is a Christian. So they eat the chicken that fried for our sins. Sorry. You can't get near the place, like I said. But I have yet to see a pride flag there. I have yet to see a trans pride flag there. I have yet to see the all-inclusive flag there. I don't even know if they fly the American flag. Why in the hell ain't Chick-fil-A flying the stars and stripes? That's what I want to know. Why do they hate America? Oh, my heavenly days. And so Joey Manana Nanarino, I won't say that he got ratioed, but it... But in all the stupidity, it's easy to kind of blow past the line where he complains that the corporate infrastructure is going to become, and again, a quote, way less white, way less male, and way less straight. We don't know exactly how he's going to know that. Anybody's guess? And when the corporate infrastructure is way less white, way less male, and way less straight, apparently, that leads inexorably to their product will become way less tasty and well-produced. Because only white, male, Christian, straight executives can produce the deliciousness that is the chicken that fried for our sins. It's Thorn in the Side Thursday. This is just silliness. But we have lots and lots of silliness to deal with. So now I guess the boycott is on. But Joey Manana Nanarino put up a poll, and he got over 110,000 responses asking whether they should boycott Chick-fil-A. The chicken that fried for our sins. Stop it, Robin. Stop it. Just stop. And 53% of the people responding said, no, leave our sacred chicken alone. You want to boycott Budweiser? That's fine. You go ahead. It's sinful to drink beer, anywho. But if you want to boycott Chick-fil-A, you might as well be boycotting Jesus Christ. who, by the way, was probably the most woke person of his entire, in the entire world, long about, you know, 32 CE. I mean, wearing a dress every day? I mean, come on. So, well. Joey Mananarino, Tom and Sonny San Rafael, so how come his voice sounds like Bill Clinton's? Because I feel his pain. Oh, my God. This is so terrible. One of these days, I'm going to have to just give in and do video, because now anytime I do the Clinton voice, I feel your pain. I immediately raise my right hand and stick my thumb up and start pointing my thumb. Because, you know, he did that. Bite the thumb. Do you bite your thumb at me, sir? I do bite my thumb. I don't know. I don't know why I didn't make him sound like Sammy Bad Breath or fat, you know, Fat Dead Tony. Because the minute I saw Manana Nanarino, my first thought was Barbarino. Ooh, Mr. Cotta. There are some things up with which that I can go to Walmart. I can go to Dollar Tree. That's what. Yes. I can go to Marshall's or something. I don't got to go to Kohl's, and I don't got to go to Calvin Klein. I don't have to wear no Nike shoes or shampoo my hair with Pantene or even shampoo my hair at all. I don't have to wash with Dove soap or do business with City or Adidas or I don't have to use Gillette razors. But you can't take away my chicken sandwich. There has to be an end to the madness. And Manana Nanarino said, again, this is not homophobia. Now you've made me self-conscious about my Manana Nanarino voice, Tom. This is not homophobia. This is we like natural men and women and don't want to be forced into your world of liberal depravity. You know, there's just something about all this performative posturing on this dude's part that tells me he's already deep into the world of liberal depravity. Or at least some kind of depravity. Personally, I think the maggots are pretty depraved. Getting back to what I said about content on the horn, Stephen New York said, we have all kinds of content that appears all over the place. We just have it way before anyone else. I would like to encourage all these numpties crying over the new woke Chick-fil-A to buy up all the chicken sandwiches they can and burn them. Yes, absolutely. It would be a burnt offering, and the smell would be sweet in the nostrils of the Lord. It's his chicken, after all. Good point, though, Steve. Oh no, Flavio, the one day I miss my filthy morning habit. Chick F. Morning Joe is an extended promo for Chick F this morning. Uff. I know. Uff. I'm trying not to make that happen here, but no. What does that even mean? I bet you do like natural men, Joey Mannarino. He wants to live with those natural men in his world of conservative depravity. Do they even think before they post this stuff? Because I got another example of that here in a second. Okay, so goodbye, Chick-fil-A. But really, from the Department of Do they actually pay attention? Do they even have any idea? Well, we have this. last night in Arizona, Stan, and this is the month of June now, so it was the end of, it was May 31st in Arizona, Stan. And Carrie Lake is apparently still running for governor, even though she lost 7 months ago. And her mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing faithful, the people who pick their teeth with their toenail clippings, were so eager to see her. I guess this is just her gig now. And so they were absolutely enraptured when she finally stepped out and came up to the stage to speak to them. And of course, she had to have music playing. Chair dancing. So that was American, the cover of American Woman by Lenny Kravitz. Originally penned, and that's the, I don't mean to get all DJ on us or anything, but originally penned by some Canadian guys. And again, I go back to Casey Stengel managing the first season of the New York Mets in, what, 1962? Who were awful. And turned to his team as they sat on the bench and said, "Does anyone here actually know how to play this game?" This was triggering for me. Because I'm old enough that I immediately flashed back to old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, who went all over the place and was, and his soundtrack was basically Bruce Springsteen singing Born in the USA. And if you bothered to actually pay attention to the lyrics, and I don't think any of these numbskulls do, Born in the USA is not a song about how awesome it is to be an American. It's a guy singing about losing his brother in the Vietnam War. Who? Well, here we have American Woman. American Woman, get away from me. American Woman, listen what I say. Don't want you hanging around my door. Don't want to see your face no more. Now, woman, get away from me. And Carrie Lake is actually walking around the stage doing the Miss America light bulb wave. Yeah. And the crowd's just thrilled, and because you know what? She's an American woman. That's what she is. American woman. Sorry about the dead air. Ferg just brought me a little slice of steak. He's in the kitchen cooking. God, it's good. And it was so rare, I could see the stripes on it where the jockey had been hitting it. Oh, it's good. Cavewoman happy. But it is. It's like the... Do please, Carrie Lake, take the advice of Lenny Kravitz and... Oh, was that Grand Funk Railroad that did the original version of American Woman? It, Canadian guys who were just kind of over American women, I guess. I don't know. God, it was. And all of this comes with the afterglow of the debt ceiling bill passing the House yesterday. For all of the Sturm und Drang of the maggot caucus and the Feedum carcass. Remember? Marginal trailer queen screaming, I'm eating a shit sandwich, but I'm a dessert girl. What's that, Darlene? Darlene says, I know how much you love McDonald's, LOL. So my question is, if you were absolutely starving and had to choose between Chick-fil-A and Mickey D's, which would it be? Must pick, no opt-out. I understand, you can't Kobayashi Maru a perfectly good hypothetical. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. McDonald's. Easy. The only thing I eat at McDonald's is the fish burger. The fillet o' fish. And, again, with extra tartar sauce. But that's not at all difficult, Darlene. That's relatively easy. Now, why did I have to start the program on fast food? It's a slippery slope back to that damned enchilito, I'm telling you. Chick-fil-A, Steve in New York says, one of my very best friends told me that when traveling long distances across the country with his two relatively young daughters by car, he routinely acknowledged the rancidity of the company, but Chick-fil-A was often the best option of basic highway rest area fare. I can understand and respect that. He wants the best available for his daughters. In the end, let's think about this. We're all getting oogie over a fucking fast food chicken restaurant. It is not just a chicken restaurant, Steve. Stop that. It is the chicken that fried for our sins. Oh. As a longtime gay since 1996, Steve says, I understand their rancidity, but I'm sorry. I just can't put getting pissed over a fucking fast food chicken restaurant over the shitstorm at whose eye we currently find ourselves. No, it's just a pleasant diversion. And it is certainly fun to watch the maggots gnawing on their own liver and contemplating never eating another one of those delicious chicken sandwiches again. Okay, confession time. Part of the complaint involved, because, you know, with Joe, like, it's not about the chicken. It's not about the cat, Billable. It's not about the chicken. It's about the responses. And as Joey Mananarino pointed out, well, you know, he ran his little white supremacy fascist flag up, then you know, 47% of the people saluted. Interesting number, 47%. But watching them immiserate themselves cannot be underestimated for its pure Schadenfreude joy. And of course, if you're on the road and you want, and it's Sunday, then I don't care if your precious kids are with you, and I'm not being mean or anything. You can't go to Chick-fil-A. If you're traveling and you're traveling on a Sunday, which you shouldn't be, and God might smite you for it in any way, you're not going to Chick-fil-A. No. Because that's God's day off. And the Chick-fil-A employees, too. Emilio said Chick-fil-A's demise. Now every chicken fillet will be dyed in the color of a rainbow flag, and the napkins will have a condescending primer on pronouns. You also won't be able to order anything until you declare your pronouns to the person, I mean woman, that is taking your orders. Wake up, sheeple! Wolverines! Well played, Emilio. This is getting out of hand really fast. But it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, so we're allowed. Further observation, you know, Lenny Kravitz. I wonder if Carrie Lake knows the guy singing that is a black Jewish man who, not to mention, is hot as fucking fuck. I'm sure she thinks he is. I mean, you know, apart from the black and killing Christ part, you know. Maybe on the down low. I don't know. Jake in Columbus says, I call it gay filet because that's what they want to do with us. Stay cool, Jake in Columbus. That's not a pleasant... No. And, hey, Cynthia. Strength in diversity. Hi, Robin. And you can measure that strength in more than one way. For instance, our diversity, including the World War II Native American code talker, sure ran circles around the Japanese and helped us win battles. And there is genetic strength from diversity, too, but I guess maggots would rather be inbred dumb shits rather than consider that, too, and so no wonder they are so fucking stupid. I don't think that it's a matter that they would rather be inbred. I think they already are, Cynthia. Thank you. And that's a really good point. If you don't have diversity, pretty soon you wind up looking like the English royal family. And the only reason that King Chuckles' kids don't look like, you know, a John Cleese the John Cleese version of an upper class English twit, you know, buck teeth down to their nipples and ears that can propel watercraft, is because they got out of their comfort zone and brought Diana in, and even she had a bunch of royal in her, but it was back a ways. Oh, the silliness. Hey, thank you, Christopher, for getting us started. The Guess Who. Thank you. I don't know why I said Grand Funk. Thank you. The Guess Who. Yes. And I always loved that acoustic guitar intro. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. Remember that? Yeah. Ooh, I might have to play that after the program. Inbred dumb shits. Steve just says, no wonder they love the royal family. I think we were thinking along the same lines at the very same moment. I can't believe I said Grandpa. The Guess Who? Of course it was the Guess Who. Darlene in Connecticut. Two thumbs up. Agreed. Lenny Kravitz is hot as fuck. Don't objectify him. Quit it. Oh, I got a feeling this is going to be a hell of a show. And after I brought, yeah, I think, what wasn't the first story in yesterday's program, the business with Nitwit Nero and the tape? So if I have this right, another right-wing POS former president is probably going to go down as a result of tapes, or at least recordings. And poor Donnie Dipshit had no Rosemary Woods. Meanwhile, somewhere in San Diego, Scott's already got his hand up going, ooh, Mr. Cotter, Rosemary Woods. And he had a hissy. He went over onto his rickety little social media platform.
Massachusetts top federal prosecutor leaked sensitive information from the Justice Department in an effort to help a friend win an election and hurt the opponent. The prosecutor just resigned. Big ramifications.
Then all caps.
But wait! All of the Democrat persecutors.
Dick finger scare quotes.
That are trying to interfere with the 2024 presidential election are leaking
constantly and illegally about me. Will they be resigning and will there be an investigation into their leaking? There should be.
And there's still fallout coming from that. I mean, and I heard my dear friend John Bridivo point out that he probably had that secret Iran war plan because he was trying to find somebody to hustle it to.
No, that's definitely a real one. I marked one with Sharpie. It's a collectible.
And so now we know. And again, this is something that we have long surmised and talked about in the past. You know, out there in front of, so far in front of the curve, it's like being on a straight road. The so-called legal team, the pettifoggers, you know, including counsel for the parking garage, never going to forget that. We've talked about how what a miserable, shitty job it must be to be such a desperate pettifogger that you will take work from Nitwit Nero, that you will let him hire you. And in fact, according to The Guardian, that has indeed been the case. Trump's various pettifoggers have been sniping and snarking at each other and chafing under the pressure from Boris Epstein, Nitwit Nero's advisor. And that's what led to Tim Parlatore to exit stage right last month. We talked about that here, too. The Guardian report said Parlatore breaking camp and bugging out was the culmination of months of simmering tensions that continue to threaten the effectiveness of the legal team at a crucial time. One pettifogger by the name of James Trustee, he really needs to be on ads on the sides of buses. Call the Trustee Law Firm. James Trustee got sick of the Game of Thrones nonsense on the Trump legal brain trust. The Guardian said that Trustee didn't like having to run legal decisions by a non-lawyer, even though he did not consider him a trial lawyer and objected to how, in his eyes, he gave more priority to Trump's perceived PR problems than to genuine legal problems. Well, that's because the legal problems aren't going away and there's really no solution. Remember, in some instances, MAGA stands for more attorneys getting attorneys. So Hugo Lowell, a reporter for The Guardian, actually overheard, because he was at an adjacent table in a restaurant, overheard the lawyers talking about all of this. And they got so bent that bent out of shape. Eventually, they said that they would. The lawyers all said they would resign if Parlatore was dismissed from the legal team. And they described it. I mean, this is beginning to. You know, there's a reason Succession was so popular, the TV show. And, you know, Nitwit Nero has half Scottish roots. And it's hard not to watch all of this drama and not think of the Scottish play. Or maybe the final scene of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark. Which in turn reminds me, again, with the debt ceiling vote last night, from the Scottish play. All those maggots, all that grunting, all that barking, all that hooting, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. And it's absolutely true. Oh, no, I know what I... When the maggots get mad about something, they can't help but immediately start thinking about everything in sexual terms. Don't blame me. One maggot said, Chick-fil-A's going woke now. Next thing you know, there'll be sperm in the frozen lemonade. Why? Why? I mean, they can't... I don't know how that has anything to do with diversity, equity, or inclusion. I'm at a loss. But, you know, here we are. So we shall see. There, and this is just lunacy. I'll enjoy that later, Flavio. The Big Book of English smiles from the Simpsons. It's kind of a visual, not so great on a radio-only program. Thank you. I'll get a giggle out of that. We spend so much time talking about fascism in America that sometimes we neglect to talk about fascism elsewhere. And I think it's better that we do keep that in mind because it's a disease that it metastasizes, it spreads. Kind of like a bad case of the clap in a cat house. We've talked about the fact that Italy has gone fascist. I mentioned the fact that a Brazilian woman was beaten horribly in Milan a couple of weeks ago by the fascists. It's what they do. Remember, Mussolini's bully boys used to go around beating up anyone that, well, basically anyone they wanted to, and the SA, the Sturmabteilung, did the same in Germany. Poland has entered the room. Warsaw has a German Historical Institute. And the German Historical Institute had a guest speaker visit, a historian of considerable repute, profound research work, Jan Grabowski, Polish-Canadian professor of history and a Holocaust researcher. This was this past Tuesday evening. Fascists are why we can't have nice things. Or even remembrances. Professor Grabowski had begun speaking, barely. The topic was Poland's growing problems with the history of the Holocaust, because it's real. And that is when a member of the Polish Parliament, dressed in fascist, that's the Polish police. Sorry. Grzegorz Braun was seated in the audience at the German Historic Institute, and Grzegorz Braun jumped to his feet, shouting, "Enough!" It's worth noting that Grzegorz Braun is a damned fascist. He's a right-wing member of the Polish Parliament. He ran up onto the podium. He grabbed the microphone away from Professor Grabowski. Started tearing out cables. Knocked over the PA. And then turned to the audience and said, "This event is over." Well, the room had a security guard in it. The security guard was ineffectual. They called the Polish police, the Warsaw police. And the cops couldn't remove Grabowski and his other fascist cronies from the room. The director of the institute, Miloš Reznik, upbraided Grzegorz Braun for the property destruction, and that's when the fascist became pissy. "A German in Warsaw is not going to tell me I shouldn't damage something. Get out of Warsaw now!" And the fascist wouldn't move. The audience began to chant at him and call him a disgrace, call him a fascist, which he is and probably doesn't bother him, and called him a Russian doormat. The fascist then screamed, "I am defending the Polish nation against a provoked attack on historical sensitivity." I don't know. Sometimes the cops need guns, maybe. But then again, the Boogaloo Incel Tactical Command Headquarters Executive Staff, those fascists or the Proud Boys, will show up and start beating the piss out of people in places like Portland, and the Portland cops will stand there and watch them do it. Makes a girl wonder. Grzegorz Braun is a member of the Confederation Liberty and Independence Party. There are 9 MPs, and they are closely associated with the Alternative für Deutschland, the AfD fascist party. And after the event was canceled, he went outside and boasted and bragged to all of his bully boy pals. Trump would love this guy. Back in 2012, this fascist animal said that 1 in 10 of the journalists at the Gazeta Wyborcza, a daily newspaper, as well as the reporters at private TV channel TVN, should be shot. Because that's what fascists do. It's a bit of a paradox that the only way to have a tolerant society is to not tolerate fascism. there are, let's be clear, no good fascists. I don't care if they go to church. I don't care if they do good deeds. I don't care. They aren't good because they are fascists, and fascism is inherently evil. And apparently he was pissed off saying, no German has a right to tell Poland about the Holocaust. Actually, they do, because, speaking broadly, the Germans know what they did. You know, that's why there's a German saying, I don't have the German for it, but if one Nazi is sitting at the table and nine other people say nothing about it, there are 10 Nazis at the table. Another historian, Zeman Rudnicki, who has researched the Polish radical right wing between 1918 and 1939, said, I feel as if I have been transported back to the 1930s. And it's worth remembering, back during the nightmare of his sort of presidency, Nitwit Nero made it a point to travel to Poland. And there he gave an outdoor speech, a harangue, a stemwinder, to the assembled right-wing Polish faithful. It is illegal to fly the Nazi flag in Poland. And so that's why they greeted Nitwit Nero back then with the Confederate battle flag, because they understood plainly that the Nazi flag and the Confederate battle flag pretty much stand for the same damn thing. But there weren't any laws against flying the Confederate battle flag. German Historic Institute Director Resnick, speaking to reporters, said, what can I say? The situation speaks for itself. We have seen who is afraid of the debate about important topical problems, and said that they would indeed do this again. Now, I've never heard of Professor Jan Grabowski. He's a lecturer at the University of Ottawa in Canada. And apparently the right-wing government in Poland hates his guts. Among other things, because he wrote a book called Night Without End, The Fate of Jews in German-Occupied Poland. Right-wing Poles turned out into the streets to piss and moan about it. Because in point of fact, what he discussed in the book was the fact that Christian, good Roman Catholic Poles engaged in horrifying violence against Jews in Poland. Especially once the Germans had eliminated the ghettos in 1942. The thing is, though, Jan Grabowski is, well, he's the Israeli Holocaust Memorial, Yad Vashem, says he's right. Correct, not right wing. The Institute of History of the Polish Academy of Sciences says the same thing. And the Polish government just gets worse and worse. The Education and Science Minister, Przemysław Szanonek, in the middle of May said, I will not finance any research work that seeks to slander the good name of the Polish state. Worrisome. Because fascism is worrisome wherever it rears its filthy head. Always. Thank you. Thank you, Nina. Awesome show, Robin. Thank you so much. And so now we are down to $75 to go to finish Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge. Thank you so much. I know. I should have issued the... Well, I did. Sorry about what I did to dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, y'all. With the whole frosted lemonade thing. I try to stay away from Chick-fil-A. But there's a little one in this house who loves it. And we like to see her eat heartily. And so we go through the drive-thru once in a while. I'm sorry. And it's no good for my blood sugar, but yes, I order the frosted lemonade. Basically, it's their lemonade, which is really good, blended with their soft serve ice cream. Steve in New York said two things. One, I know I never even contemplated doing that to the lemonade. Two, it gives a whole new meaning to the phrase, go fuck a chicken. Really? Are we going to go there? Are we going to go down the which came first, the chicken or the egg? And it's obviously the egg because the chicken's a woman, the girl, female. I've got to do something about me. Steve observing, wow, Poland has come a long way from the words of the notorious leftist pinko John Paul II, whatever you think of him. He was vehemently against anti-Semitism. He wrote, JP2 did, the Jewish religion is not extrinsic to us, but is in a certain way intrinsic to our own religion. With Judaism, therefore, we have a relationship which we do not have with any other religion. You are dearly beloved brothers, and in a certain way it can be said that you are our elder brothers. No word on the sisters. But then again, Pope, man in a dress. But yeah, Poland has been on a rightward slide for a very, very long time. And if my understanding is correct, to the extent that it has any foothold, a lot of the foothold of AfD in Germany is, of course, in the eastern part of the country that suffered so long under Soviet rule. Hey, Don in West Tennessee writing in, subject line Poland. I surely agree. It feels like these times are like the 1930s. Kind of hard not to, isn't it, Don? You know, for those of us who are paying attention. That's why it's best to crush fascism. Well, you know, what's the line from I Shot the Sheriff? Kill it before it grows.
kill it before it grows. Sorry, I'm just trying to see where to go next. And just for the sake of being factual and complete, the DEI executive people are throwing fits about is Eric McReynolds. Joey Mananarino only figured this out 2 days ago, but he's been the VP of DEI for more than a year and a half, and he was working that role as well for a decade, just not as a VP. And they're also mad at the Chick-fil-A webpage, too, because they're such dainty little snowflakes. They get mad at everything. Because the Chick-fil-A webpage talks about being better together and having a culture of belonging. Which is kind of a Jesus-y thing to say, frankly. Oh, let's do some gun stuff. And by the way, we are into the second hour of the program. And $75 to go. And then I'll shut up. Now, this story is not addressing the issue of mass shootings or, you know, slaughters at schools or anything. No. This is about the accidental ones. You know, the oops, blam, pray, oops, blam, weep, the gun just went off stuff. It comes from The Trace, which defines itself as the nation's only newsroom dedicated to covering gun violence full-time. God knows it's a full-time job. The story by Jennifer Messia begins with an account of, from Houston, Texas, of course, on just a couple of weeks ago, May the 16th, where a four-year-old, a little boy, just happened to find a firearm that belonged to a relative who was visiting. And the four-year-old shot his one-year-old brother in the leg. When the TV news got there to ask questions, Daddy said, well, he likes to play with toy guns, and he probably didn't realize that was real. So as this article notes, here in Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world, on Earth now, today, forever, in the universe, under God, amen. Well, there is an accidental shooting of a kid about every other day in the United States. Between May 1st, 2022 and April 30th, 2023, there were at least 162 incidents that involved a child under 13 taking hold of a gun and shooting it. And in so doing, either wounding and killing either themselves or another kid under 13. The butcher's bill for that 1 year period of time butcher's bill and the, I guess, the mortician's bill. Or 71 dead kids and 96 maimed ones. And those are the accidents. Those are the oopsies. And, well, don't worry. The Republican Party has no intention of doing a damn thing about it. Because, for instance, the filibuster is more important than 96 maimed children and 71 dead ones. In two-thirds of that number, the gunshots were self-inflicted. So this isn't really ciphering, because nobody wants me ciphering. But I'm just trying to keep track. The number one killer of children in this country is firearms. Or maybe somebody from the National Rubel Association said, no, it's people with firearms. That's what it's people. Yeah. But, so, you know, we need to enforce the laws we got. We don't need more gun laws. Oh, there's Bill Clinton again. Don't know why. So what laws can we enforce against a 13-year-old who accidentally kills himself? Or a story that has never gone away for me. The little boy in Kentucky who got a single shot 22, because, you know, that's what you get a little four-year-old boy. Helps him be more manly and stuff. And took it and promptly killed his one-year-old sister. This was years ago, and if I recall this correctly, the sheriff or somebody said, you know, we don't need no charges out of this. That's heartbreak enough. Yeah. Stand by. Sorry, doctor's office, automated message reminding me of my appointment on Tuesday, June 6th at 11 a.m. This is Thursday. Never mind. So anyway, the number one killer of kids is guns. Nothing's happening in the Congress. And I'm reminded of that old legal principle that silence is acceptance. And remember, the big old giant-headed Charlie Kirk at one of those little clavern meetings that Toilet Paper USA or whatever has from time to time said, you know, I think it's a pretty good bargain. We get the right to have to keep and bear arms, and it only costs us a few kids once in a while. That's not so bad. So, of course, this case comes out of the Supreme. It's, but well, our dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties may or may not hear a case coming out of Texas. There were arguments before the court this past Tuesday in which the pettifogger for the some gun-humping dude implored our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties to not hear a case that is being that they are being petitioned to hear. The case involves a man named Zaki Rahimi. And he is aggrieved by virtue of the fact that, well, he engaged in domestic violence, beat the hell out of probably a woman in his household. And there is a law that says if you are charged with domestic violence, you may not possess a firearm. However, and I think we talked about it here, back in March, an appeals court held that under the Bruin decision, that horrifying, blood-soaked piece of jurisprudential sophistry that came out last summer, every law relating to the possession of firearms in this country has to have historical and traditional roots in American history and tradition. Now am I aching back? And so the appeals court overturned the statute that says people who have a tendency to beat the living hell out of their girlfriends, their wives, shouldn't be able to possess a firearm. And that ruling is being challenged in court, the Supreme Court, by the Biden administration. Let's be clear here. Solicitor General Elizabeth Preligar petitioned the court and said the Rahimi case should be taken up next term, and the court decision overturned, the lower court decision overturned, because the lower court's decision, quote, threatens grave harms for victims of domestic violence. Counselor Preligar, good for you. Newsflash. Our most puissant dread sovereign supreme Catholic majesties do not give a good goddamn about domestic violence because, after all, there is no real history and tradition in this country of trying to prevent it. I'm not kidding. I'm not being sarcastic. Women, at the time of the origination of the Constitution under originalists, were property. All women, virtually all women. It was bad enough that John Adams' wife, during the time that the Declaration of Independence was being drafted, wrote to her beloved husband John and said, "Don't forget the ladies." And just as an aside, she was actually the brains of the outfit, her and John. While John was off gallivanting around being acerbic and generally unlikable, she was back at home managing the family finances, managing the family business, managing the family farm. And being generally brilliant. The fact that they did not die in penury was because Abigail Adams was actually a pretty savvy investor. In point of fact, most states up until and even after the dawn of the 20th century, at some point in time got around to needing to pass what are referred to as Married Women's Property Acts. Laws that specifically state that a woman has a right to own her own property in her own name. Because that was not the case. When West Virginia became a state in 1863, one of the first, among the first statutes that did get passed eventually was the Married Women's Property Act. So the Supreme Court doesn't give a goddamn about domestic violence or about how many Zaki Rahimis beat or shoot, stab, strangle, whatever, their domestic partners. And the fact that, well, a domestically violent man tends to become more domestically violent in the presence of when he's got access to a firearm. Doesn't matter. Not to that gang, not to those six judicial punks. Five guys plus the handmaid. They don't care at all. And so here in the next few weeks, they'll get together basically in secret, the justices will, and decide whether to take the case or let it stand. And if they let it stand, God alone knows how many women will, and children will pay with their lives. The case arises out of the Fifth Judicial Circuit, which includes, of course, Texas, and sits at New Orleans. They cited the Bruin decision, and they said that the statute that forbids firearm possession by someone accused of domestic violence, quote, is an outlier that our ancestors would never have accepted. But domestic violence isn't. It's not an outlier. There are statutes on books that the statutes on the books in various states that define the diameter of the rod with which a husband may beat his wife. Now that's got roots in American history and tradition. That there does, and if he wants to pistol whip her, yeah, that's got roots in American history and tradition too. Meanwhile, the pettifogger for Zaki Rahimi said, some dude named J. Matthew Wright, because it's got to be a guy. He said that his client is suffering under the lash of an unconstitutional law, and the court should turn down the case and let matters percolate through the courts for a while. That was the word he used, percolate. Yeah. Just let it percolate. Let more women be shot and beaten and killed and maimed. And because the Second Amendment is more important than some woman. Okay? All the ones who... Hysterical. It was hysterical. That they're just being hysterical, not wanting to get shot just because he beat her up one Saturday night when he was all drunk. Zaki Rahimi was found guilty in 2020 of beating hell out of his girlfriend. He was charged in court. He was found to have committed family violence. And the court further found that it was likely to happen again. And the court wasn't wrong. Because the statistic that I was aware of back in the mid-90s said that a woman who is in a domestic violence poisoned relationship will be battered 8 times before she either leaves or dies. And that was the mid-90s. And meanwhile, just in case anybody's wondering, well, you know, I mean, he gets liquored up and he gets, you know. I mean, it was just that one time. No! No. Zaki Rahimi was part of 5 separate shootings in Texas beginning in December 2020 up through January 7th of 2021. On January 7th, 2021, his friend's credit card was declined at a Whataburger. And that's when he pulled out his gun and fired shots into the air in the Whataburger. Finally, the police got a search warrant. And they found a rifle and a pistol. A rifle and a pistol that were listed in an inventory in the domestic violence civil proceeding. He was charged with being in possession of the firearms. He was arrested. And he lost the case and lost the guns. But then the Bruin decision came down. Oh, thank you, most puissant, dread, sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties. Thank you. How can we ever repay you? Well, you know, Har-Har can take Fap-Fap on a cruise to Indonesia or by his mama's house, or maybe Anne's boy Neil can go and swan around in Italy in the, you know, maybe the Lake District. And so the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals looked at his appeal and said, yeah, sure, okay. Bruin fundamentally changed our analysis of laws that implicate the Second Amendment, rendering our prior precedent obsolete. Obsolete, isn't that charming? No, it's deadly. You know, I mentioned that article by The Trace, and they spoke, the news, their newsroom focuses specifically on gun violence and gun deaths. Maybe they need a new list or something of gun violence since Bruin. We need 2 lists. One, gun violence since DC versus Heller. You know, Fat Dead Tony's legacy to the nation, and gun violence deaths since Bruin. Because remember, guns don't kill people. People kill people. And every gun violence death in this country from Bruin forward should be attributed to our most puissant dread sovereign, Supreme Catholic Majesties. Every last one. With asterisks. Not attributable to whomever the justices were that dissented in that case. Because there had to be dissents, because the Bruin decision is absolutely cockamamie. You could give a first-year law student a 1.75-liter bottle of Mexican gasoline tequila and a swirly straw, and they wouldn't be able to write something as wholly, entirely fucked up and dumb as the Bruin decision. Oh, and by the way, we are at the halfway point of the program. Thank you, Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you so much. Charlene jumped in and got us down to $50 to go to finish Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge, which will take our fundraising goal from $17.90 down to $11.90. Just $50 does that. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much. Charlene, is David Sicklein your member of Congress? I like him a lot. He's been a powerful voice. Well, I think today was his last day in Congress. He's taking a job heading the Rhode Island Foundation. And I'm sure he'll do a magnificent job there. And he won't have to listen to the barking and screeching of, you know, marginal trailer queen every day. That'd almost be enough to make you take a minimum wage job, let alone running a multi-million dollar foundation. I hope y'all can find somebody as good as him, Charlene. Oh, speaking of listening to the barking and grunting. Well, there was, in yesterday's the debt limit vote, there was one person, at least. Nobody had to listen to bark and grunt. Because she didn't show up for the vote. I'm talking, of course, about the Clanny Granny, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert. She barked, she grunted, she hooted, she bleated. She screeched, she shrieked, she howled. But when it was time to actually do her damn job, no show. The bill passed 314 to 117. Neither side had her vote, and she didn't even show up and vote present. Well, I tell you what, the folks of that district sure do have, they've got some high-quality redneck trash representation in her, don't they? Stand by a minute. Sorry, I'm trying to connect the stress line. And by the way, Ralph says, oh, please, everyone, make me pay. From your lips to the Horn Family Community Congregation's ear. Okay, connect. This is frustrating. Sorry. One more try. We'll get there in a second. By the way, no one really knows where Clanny Granny was. She was running up the steps of the Capitol right as they gaveled it done. After the vote, though, she needed to run her mouth some more. The swamp did its old song and dance and pretended to listen to the American people, but as soon as the backroom deal was made, it was predetermined that it would pass. I certainly wasn't afraid to vote against the bill, as I've been advocating against it all week. But somehow or another, she couldn't quite find the House of Representatives? God, they're so wearisome. And so dumb. Maybe someday she'll put out a statement saying, you won't have Clanny Granny to kick around anymore. All right, this is sincerely pissing me off. Is insincerely being pissed off even a thing? I don't know why it does this. One of these days, I'm going to get a new phone for the stress line. Sorry. Frustrating, I know. I'm not going to sing. Sorry. I'm rebooting the stress line. This wouldn't happen if it was an iPhone. Now all the Android users are going to be pissed at me. Working. Come on. Kyle probably turned off the Bluetooth. Yes, you can connect. Oh, this makes me mad. I had no idea it wasn't connected. All right, there is more than one way to do this. By the way, Brother Deacon Asa says, quit asking, going back to the what if you had to choose between Chick-fil-A or McDonald's, Darlene's question. Quit asking those hypodermical questions, Darlene, Brother Deacon Asa says. Everyone knows Wendy's square hamburgers are the best. Hamburgers. Blast from the past. Look at it this way. If this was a commercial radio broadcast, you would have been listening. The amount of time that's been used here in silence would have been commercials for Buy Gold Now ads or some vitamin or a Swedish mattress or a Bose Wave radio.
Miss Rush, we do too.
Poor Todd Starnes. Stand by. No idea what in the hell is wrong. Well, I'll fix it in post. But, well, there. Now, we're going to make it work. I really wanted this to work because, well, doggone it, it's Todd. And I haven't heard from Todd since Todd was a baby.
Yeah. You know what? I have a new, I don't know, I'm in a different vehicle, so if this Bluetooth is tinny, let me know because I have no idea.
No, you're fine. You're good. I hear a little
highway. No, really?
Yeah, I hear a little highway noise in the background. Or maybe that's the AC.
That is. That's the fan. It's hot. Yeah. Shoot, man. It was 90 degrees, man.
It's 82.
You know what, though?
It is 82. It is 82 outside the Fabulous Horn Studio right now.
What? You know, wait a minute. All right, yeah, I don't need all this. I'm in a different view. Yeah, I don't know. So look, man, there's so much. First of all, how are you?
I'm great. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. You know, constantly stressed out, but that's my life. That's one thing. That's one thing that didn't change.
That's one thing that didn't. Yeah, you know, I did hear, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago, within 2 weeks. Or maybe three, I don't know. You know, a sad story about, you know, some people misgendering, I guess. And, you know.
It sucks. But you bounce back.
It started off well. Right. I'm talking over you. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Go.
No, I mean, you know, it sucks. Right. But. I mean, this shit, I think that, you know, all this political climate, when was the last time we talked?
It was over a month. Let me see here. I bet I can tell. funny how that works.
I bet it's over a month though. Seriously.
Let's see.
I bet it's over a month, man. It's been, my times are messed up. I might have been in Pennsylvania.
I'm not. Okay. The last time we talked was March the 21st.
I was in Pennsylvania. I've been back and forth. It's a whole lot been going on. Good God. You know, this country's in turmoil, man. I'm telling you. It is. When you travel, holy cow. Listen, it's so much to talk about. But the first thing I want to say is that I'm so sorry that you have to deal with these ignorant people that, you know, the governor of Florida and the former president with his ridiculous self. And, you know, it's unnecessary. It's like, you know, if you don't like it, you don't really have to ingest it. It's a non sequitur. Really, it doesn't even involve you.
But the thing is, that's how fascist works. You have to have an out group. You have to have a them. Or fascism can't work.
And well, that's where we are. See, go ahead.
No. It's just that's where we are. I mean, fascism is on the march.
That's where we left off.
Well, yeah.
Last time we talked, I kept saying, "Oh, the Manlio fascist," and hear it. And then all of a sudden, you hear them talk about they finally. How long did it take them to start using the F word on the morning program?
Our filthy.
They finally caught the fuck up.
Yeah, I know. Takes a while.
Wait a minute, I'm pissed. I'm serious. I'm gonna be like Godfather. I'm a little pissed the fuck off because it's like, you know what? I remember, man. I'm like, my memory is just, man. I'm telling you, turmeric and ginger, it works. My memory is uncanny. So, look, we were like. Early on, we're like, inside job, January 6th. Yup. And now it's like, oh, what a surprise. No, not really. Not really. No. It's just, I don't know. They need they need to run your program on national news because it's so far ahead of the curve. I mean, we had this shit figured out a year ago.
Long time.
So now here we are. We kept saying no, no, no. And look, now here we are. You know. So let's start forward, moving back, because this is
okay.
The most important thing right now. And I'm serious.
We got to have a little order here.
Yeah, right. Because this is the most prescient thing right now. Debt limit. Now, and I remember I mentioned this. We talked about this some time ago. But apparently, I got to let these windows down. Apparently, people don't. They don't want to know. They don't care. But it's sad but true. But this, and it's not. This is not Todd pontificating. This is just a fact. Okay, we are no longer backed by the gold standard. Okay, which means that we print money at our own will via the Federal Reserve.
Right. When it's necessary.
When it's necessary. Now.
Oh, okay. I love nothing more, and by love I mean hate, nothing more than hearing some maggot, the U.S. is going to go bankrupt. You know, a few years ago, it was, the U.S. is going to be like Greece. No, we're not.
We're not.
Sovereign currency, all of that.
We're not. And we, I would like to use the basket analogy. Like, so let's put that in one basket. We print our own money when we need it.
Right, right.
Okay. So that's in one basket. That's just a fact. We're not on the gold standard. So our money is not backed by gold. That's in basket B. So now we have two baskets, A and B. Remember, this is just fact. This is not Todd pontificating. This is empiricism. Okay. Basket C, which is number three, is that anywhere you go in this world, on this planet, if you travel a lot overseas, you learn, wow, you know what? Next time I go over here, I don't need to travel. I'm just bringing dollar bill. See, the dollar bill is worth something a lot everywhere on this planet. For a reason. Anywhere you go, you can do a lot of shit.
It's a stable currency.
It's a stable currency. And, okay, right. So that's basket C, which is number three, obviously, third letter now. So basket D is the recalcitrant basket. Don't fuck with our reputation. That's all we have. Now, I mean, you can do that, but that means that...
Well, a fiat currency is by definition a Tinkerbell currency.
It is.
It's but, only but real see, if you believe in it.
Okay. See, this is why these people are irrational. Because, all right, the only thing holding us up is that we're the biggest gorilla on the planet. And if, you know, you feel like fucking with us, we're just going to make up a war or do something, and we're going to bomb you and take your shit, like we did with Iraq. Now, but when you start messing with our reputation, that's the problem. These fuckers are that stupid. I mean, my God, but they notice history, because these are the same people who really illuminated, you know, what happened when this currency thing changed. In Georgia, they're the ones who eliminated that. These people are just so damn weird. They have no business in government. Period. They got to go. You know, the Russian asset that used to be a president, he's got to go to prison. Now, why these people are still denying the fact that he's a fucking Russian asset, I do not know. I mean, I don't know what it takes, but I know one thing: that new fucker, Garland. Merrick Garland's subordinate. Look, that fucker ain't—he ain't taking. He, that motherfucker gets up in the morning and he dabs and he fucking gets to work.
Wait, he dabs. He dabs and then he goes to work.
He dabs. He gets up in the morning, gets his good dab on, gets his mind right, gets his endocannabinoid system going and goes to fucking work. I know, I'm telling you what the fuck I know.
He got that dabbing lighter and shit and the glass nail and all of that?
He's got his torch. Look, I'm telling you, once you can't go back. It's good for you. Fucking flowering shit. That's just some shit to do. Whatever. You think I'm fucking around, man?
Flowering nothing. It's just some shit to do. Signed, Todd.
Dab, baby. It's a dab world, bitch. I'm not fucking around, man.
Prithee tell, what is this dab you speak of, and where mightst I obtain some?
Well, I'm not going to get all the secrets, but it is attainable legally, and I'm telling you, when you put heat to 8, it does turn to 9, and there's all other things out there, but you got to know what you're doing.
I think I understand that mathematics.
Right. Yeah, that's chemistry and shit. So, you know, Republicans ain't fucking with that. They're too stupid. They were like, chemistry, that's what? That's sad. I shouldn't be like that. But too bad. But yeah, I'm serious though, man. That shit. What? Oh my God, it make your body vibrate. And you be like, aches of pain gone. Like, wow.
So Merrick gets up in the morning, dabs, and goes about his business.
Not Merrick, Smith.
Oh, well, Jack Smith, okay, yeah. Merrick's just smoking flour, and that ain't shit.
Right. Yeah, and he's like, why are you dabbing? Don't you see all this good skunk we got here? He was like, yeah, all right, Merrick, that's why you fucking slow. This is why I've got shit tied up. Look, so we're moving. Our chronology started before we moved back. Okay, so. I just don't know.
Wow, there's the 657.
Woo-hoo!
Rolling on through town. Driving that train high on cocaine. Casey Jones, driving you better watch your speed.
Look, we got to get our moonshine some kind of way. Yeah, look, man. So now we know that, honestly, man, we're in trouble because we have a whole cohort of Americans who just fucking don't get it.
Well, they don't. But Todd, they don't get it because people deliberately try to make sure they don't get it. It's not exactly the same discussion, but you know, you live in South Carolina. It makes me think of South Carolina things. And bless his little hobbit heart. Miss Lindsay has done caught the vapors. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. Over the debt ceiling deal. And I swear, mm-hmm. he's got a thing. I think he's got a thing for a man in uniform. He said, this budget locks in a smaller United States Navy at a time when the Chinese Navy's growing dramatically. The Navy's smaller. The Army's smaller. The Marine Corps is smaller. I bet when he calls his rent boy, he makes him dress up in a uniform.
You know what? He's so happy that he's in this era where he can't be persecuted. Because, if he was around when Strom was around. Not around. I mean, you know, people.
Yeah, when Strom was young, he would have beat that ass.
He would have beat that. He soft turtle would say, watch me fuck this black bitch while I beat your ass. That's what he
Oh, when I get done, you in trouble. So ashamed.
Yo, no, I'm serious. How the hell are you, man? We ain't talking.
I'm good. I just got to share this with you, though, because Miss Lindsay done had the vapors on the floor of the Senate, and he said, to my House colleagues, I can't believe you did this. To the Speaker, I know you got a tough job. I like you. But the party of Ronald Reagan is dying. Well, maybe if somebody will just put a pillow over the party of Ronald Reagan's face. But the thing is, Lindsay, honey, the party of Ronald Reagan has been coughing up blood on the porch for years. This isn't the party of Ronald. This is the party of Donald.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the one who they're the ones who put the pillow over old Ronnie's face. Sorry.
Well, we're witnessing the death of a failed. I mean, there are pockets of people they're just holding on, but it's not. I'm glad that the criminal justice system is working. It appears to be at this time because, I mean, we all saw the former president pander for votes, which is highly illegal. We know that. I mean, there's countless charges on that, including using telephone devices to commit a felony. But I'm sure she's on that fanny, whatever it means. But at the same time, what are we going to do with all these angry Americans? These folks are uneducated and angry and they're rabble. They got guns and they love liquor and I don't know what the fuck, man. They're ready to do this shit again. They don't see a problem with it.
Oh, yes, they are. Only the thing I pointed out the other day is that, okay, they did D.C. Didn't work out the way they wanted it to. So it's kind of like the anti-abortion movement. They did D.C., they didn't end abortion. Then they went and started working through state legislatures, and that's what's going to happen with these insurrectionist terrorists. Because, like I mentioned last night, talking to Tracy, the chatter on Telegram, that Russian messaging app that, the Proud Boys like to use. Because they think that somehow or another that, American Intel can't monitor that. But what I was telling Tracy last night is they've got little mini terrorist attacks planned for Juneteenth.
Oh, great. Are you fucking serious?
Yes.
I've got to invent. I don't want to have to deal with that shit. Oh, these fuckers. Yeah, because it's too woke. Right. Okay, I get it. Yeah, it's woke.
Juneteenth is woke.
Yeah, that shit ain't woke. It's just fucking American history, man. Don't you see?
Oh, then that's okay. It's not woke. It's critical race theory. But critical race theory is woke.
Well, this is what I would see. I would ask every American because I told you about that, and I'm still having trouble. I didn't know how much trouble I got into holding that CRT event. I'm still catching flat. Like the people won't talk.
Yeah, you're not kidding. This is real.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not kidding.
This isn't a
bet. I had professionals. I had a former mayor who was here, and I had an attorney who teaches this in fucking law school. I had that kind of fucking lineup. I had some professional shit, but these niggas ain't ready for that, man. And when I say niggas, I mean, what I mean. I mean people.
Yeah, I do.
He said,
That's the soft R, not the hard R.
Oh, that's so funny. But it's like, that's a whole other topic, because I don't even know what that means anymore. It doesn't mean anything now. It means whatever anybody wants it to mean.
Well, but I think we're getting close to a resolution, Todd, because, for instance, there is the beginning of a counterinsurgency against all the anti-woke crap in Florida. People are actually pushing back. There are citizens who are filing lawsuits against libraries to keep them from banning books or removing them from their shelves.
Well, they need to.
And that's a pretty brilliant tactic, because if you're the library and you don't want to remove books from your shelves, you just send your lawyer in and go, "Yep, we confess judgment. Enter the order. Can't remove any books. Right. Maggot's going to have to die mad about it."
Nothing we can do about it.
Oh, by the way, you got a note from Clarence.
Oh, what's up, man?
Clarence says, tell Todd, Jack Smith is getting it in. That's the word on the streets.
Look, I mean, he's going for the jugular, man. This dude ain't fucking around. And I don't know, like, it's going to be interesting. I hope we're old enough. I hope we make it long enough to, like, read the books. Because we don't know if Merrick Garland was just, which I think he was just too weak. Because I can see his affect. He's just, you know, he doesn't like confrontation. You know, he's just, that's not his personality. And that's exactly why Obama wanted him as a judge, because he was supposed to be non-controversial.
Yeah.
Because you could see how uncomfortable he was. It was like, oh, God, why do you put me in this position? It's like, God, this is our fucking country, you asshole. You know, but he still couldn't fucking rise to the occasion, so he got a subordinate. And that's okay. It's going to get done. Because this fucker has committed. I mean, and this is what I'm so sad about Middle America. When I say Middle America, I mean Deep South folk, Midwest folk, the Plains. You know, we kept telling people, anybody who grew up in the Northeast, we knew this fucker was a racist scoundrel from, like a joke. Like, seriously, like literally a clown. A clown. However, I do remember that October evening when I called you at about 2 days before the election. I said, you know, I've been looking at the stats, and the Philly suburbs are cracking. And I said, you know, I'm from this area, and this is the most democratic place on the earth, and it really is. Like, in the United States, it's the most democratic place. Even Republicans got to run Democrat. Even in the exurbs, suburbs, all the way to Kensington, right? So when that fucker, when Trump started, like, cracking, I was like, that's it. If you can't get Philly, if you cannot get the Philadelphia suburbs, you lost the fucking country. It's that fucking simple. Right? And remember? And everybody was like, no. Remember I told you? Remember?
Every word of it, yes.
See? And you know, it's unfortunate. But this is where we are now. And this is what happens when you defund public education for 50 years. It's going on 50 years now.
I feel like I feel like I snuck in under the wire. I think all I have is my experience growing up in a little corner in Northwest Alabama to judge by. But I think either my graduating class and from high school or the one after me was the last one to have civics as a mandatory class.
Mm-hmm. How many years ago was that?
Really? You want me to cipher?
No, wait a minute.
No, 42 years. 42 years.
Okay, 42.
I'm an old lady. But I feel young.
Well, that's good. Keep your bladder healthy.
three hours of nonstop radio. Let's don't even talk.
You went, Wow. So, there's been all kinds of death on my end. I've been up and down the road.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had more people die, and then...
Well, not to be nosy, but... I mean, we knew about your daddy.
Well, that's still going... I mean, I'm in the halfway point of the fourth quarter of a four-quarter event of that. So that's a good thing. You know, so I'm just waiting I'm waiting for the next tax year because, you know, he passed and, you know, you got to do taxes. It costs money to die. That shit ain't cheap.
This is America. It costs money to do everything. Get born, get dead.
When they had those life insurance commercials, like he had insurance and everything. What I'm saying, everybody, if you don't have no insurance, you're going to be a burden on somebody. You got to do it. Do it while you're young and get it out the way. And I know I sound like an old man, but I'm serious. It makes a difference. It makes it, because I made some mistakes. I learned a lot through this process. And so, at the tail end of this process, since you brought it up, I have some, interesting news. And you know, I'm always big on the hybrids, right? Hybrid vehicles.
Yes.
Okay. Cause I own a sedan, and now, my dream was to always have, it was like, oh, God, I wish I had a pick-em-up truck that was a hybrid because the gas mileage on pickups is just too much.
You know, but you know what's cute?
What?
You probably wouldn't be into a cute car, but yeah, sorry. No, that new Ford Maverick.
Well, that's what I have.
You do?
And I got the new Maverick. I don't know how you. Well, you probably
with the hybrid and the little truck bed and the four doors and.
Yup. Oh. I'm gonna tell you something. It's a real fucking truck, man.
But it's front wheel drive, right?
I'm looking at it right now. It's got about six inches clearance between the frame and the wheel. You got, I'm telling you, and I mean, I'm sitting on the tailgate. Look, man, and not only that, wait a minute, it gets the same mileage as the fucking Camry. When you're in town, shit, I'm getting, my overall mileage right now is 38 miles to the gallon. My overall. And that doesn't, you know, that means really, you won't get 50 some miles to the gallon. It's a pickup truck, a steel body pickup truck. You can't buy these motherfuckers, man. I went to the dealer. Listen, I'm glad because I would recommend. I don't know. I hadn't had it long enough. I'm just saying that for right now, I think this is. Of course, it was overpriced because you can't even go to a dealership, man. They're like, oh, you got to wait 6 months.
Yeah, there's a premium on the damn things, isn't there?
Oh, pick any kind of pickup. It's ridiculous. And I thought about you because I know how it hurt when you lost your Ram.
Oh.
I mean, I could feel it. See? I remember that, man. That shit hurt. I know. That hurt.
Yeah, 12 years ago now.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm like, you know what, though? I mean, I'm not... I don't want to come off as bragging, but I'm just glad that I was able.
So you ditched the sedan?
No, no.
Oh,
no. I own a house, nigga. When you own a house, you got to have a sedan and a pickup. You got to have a pickup.
Gotta have something with a truck bed. How else you gonna bring the riding lawnmower home?
And not only that, it's not good to overload your damn. I mean, you want to ride around looking like Tobacco Road with the damn broke down rear suspension on your sedan, because that ain't good for your car. You can't be keep. You know, I got cinder blocks to haul and wood. I got shit to do. So I was like, you know what? I had a sedan.
You're a man with a plan.
Well, I mean, look, I had no plan for most of my life. I'm matured now, and you now look. And that's with dabbing, nigga.
Now are you getting good with the adulting?
I'm getting good. Shut up. Yo, you gotta get it right sometime. But I'm not serious. I'm serious about the dab, man. That shit. What? Holy shit! That fucking changes the game. That's a fucking game changer. That other shit I don't even know what that shit's for. Flower. I mean, it's just something to look good. Smell good. Yeah, all right, that's good. That shit don't even affect me no more, man. I'm talking about 20% don't even affect me no more. The fuck out of here. Because I've been up the way, nigga. Yo, where everything's free and easy. Woo-wee! What? The fuck out of here. So, anywho, yeah, so that's all I can say is that, you know, and this is Biden, because now let's think about it. That was that Maverick pickup truck. He was touting that when he was, like, pushing the electric vehicles or hybrid vehicles. And, I mean, there's no way around it. It is almost every mile of vehicle. If you look hard enough to get the hybrid, it's only $1,000 more usually. But I was like, man, these roads around here, I need a pickup. These fucking pistons on the rear end, I'm looking at these joints. Man, they're like 3-inch pistons. Them joints is 3 inches easy. And so I'm good, man. I think I'm good.
Well, that's awesome. What? Okay. And, girl got to ask. What?
I would have shot. If I had a gun, I would have shot the motherfucker. But then I came to my senses. I said, well, Ford probably the best things they make are Lincolns and trucks. And maybe small cars, because I do remember the Fiesta from the 80s. That was one of the best cars ever made. The one with the long doors and the tiny wheels. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. I do.
That was a very good car.
I've liked this Fusion a lot. It certainly will. Let me... Let me
you,
see
the Fusion? You have a Fusion?
Yeah. It's.
I love the Fusion. I've rented seven, that. It's seven. Nice, it's quick.
7 years old.
No shit.
But it gets me where I'm going. And that's what matters.
Wait a minute. It's been 7 years since you lost the Subaru.
No, the Mazda. No. It's just that it was a couple of years old when I bought it. It's a 2016.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I had a note from Brother Deacon Asa for you. Piss on you, Brother Todd. You completely ruined MILF. You completely ruined MILF porn for me by associating it with that pudgy orange sack full of pus.
I'm sorry to disrupt your porn activity, brother. But he is. I've been saying that for a minute, though. I know they got lost in the sauce, but
no, I know, but you.
You know, it was that's what they say in advertising. You have to be repetitive. You have to repeat things. Well, how's your egg doing?
I gotta get a new one. My Acorn.
Mm-mm.
I went looking for parts for it, but they don't list the parts that I need on the website. So I gotta call them down in Georgia Stan and see if they actually sell it.
Need a ring. I bet you need a ring, don't you?
No, and on the Acorn, it's got this little slide out ash pan that clips on with like two clamps.
That's right. You got the Acorn. Mm-hmm.
And. And it's a design flaw. It's failed in the same place with both of them.
Mm.
And the slot that it slides into is basically three pieces of steel wire.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how well you clean it, because I clean it meticulously. That thing is going to rust.
Mm.
And that's what's happened.
Did you email them and let them? Because people need to know that.
Well, it's a design flaw. It's not a Kamado Joe, and it's not a Big Green Egg, and it's not $2,000.
God, they went. But I mean,
it would take me 15 years to spend on. It would take me 15 years and 5 new Acorns for the price of one Kamado Joe or one Big Green Egg.
Damn. Holy shit.
I mean, okay, those damn Kamado Joes and Big Green Eggs are crazy, stupid expensive.
They got too big for their, their britches. But I will say this, just as like a social science PSA. You know, it's a natural thing for us to complain. Human beings, we always like to complain about
it. But what's driving me crazy is I got two beautiful slabs of St. Louis-style ribs.
I understand that.
Crying out for smoke.
Let me finish my point. So what I'm saying is that, right, and that's a bad experience. It's a terrible experience. But at the other side, we need to also remember that we definitely, and especially the way that the culture is now, people are so violent and shooting and everybody's tense. We need to let people know when we think they're doing a good job or really helping us.
No, I agree. I do that a lot.
Everybody... Right, because everybody complains. That's easy. And I think we all be, that's just me. That's the social scientist in me, because I know it works. It's reinforcement. And
people need to be lifted up.
They do. Say, hi, and I was thinking about this today at work. I was like, I've said this before, but, this is the reason that small group learning works. Small groups are better for society, because when you have a group of small groups that works on a project and they're each assigned a task, it works better. Small groups, no more than 4. Usually 3 is great. 5 is too many, because then you have slackers. But what happens is that it's hard to hate in small groups. Just say something nice. You don't have to agree with people. Just say something nice.
I had a little moment last night. I was going through the drive-thru because Tracy made half the Horn Family Community Congregation crazy for a Taco Bell Enchirito. So I went and got my Enchirito.
Man, I like Taco Bell. They get deride it, but sometimes, man, that's good, man.
Sometimes you just got to do it. And so I could tell that the young woman at the window is not having the best day. And so when I got up there to pick my food up, I looked at her and I said, "Listen, I know you got a tough job, and I just want you to know that I appreciate the work you do." And suddenly there's a smile on her face, and her day got better. For the low, low Kmart price of a couple of kind words.
Isn't that nice? See, that's beautiful. That's a wonderful story. That's a wonderful story.
Now, it's not to say that I can't be a total bitch sometimes, because I can.
Well, we know that, but that's not what we're focused on.
But, you know, I take one of my mottos from the end of Hemingway's The Sun Also Rises. And Jake and Lady Brett Ashley are in a cab. And she turns to Jake and she says, "You know, sometimes not being a bitch is what we have instead of God."
Damn.
Right. Damn. I mean, I remember reading that 40 years ago, and I memorized it in that moment, and it has stayed with me.
I mean, that says a hell of a lot in, like, the very short. Very short.
Sometimes not being a bitch is what we have instead of God. It always amazed me how well Hemingway wrote women.
God.
I think it's probably because he was trans as fuck.
Oh, was he? I didn't know that.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. You cannot be that masculine, that hyper masculine,
mm-hmm.
and not have some shit going on.
He was hyper masculine. That's true. You know, and it's funny because I remember in college.
And turn around and write a book that was only published in 1986, 26 years after he died. 25 years after he died, the Garden of Eden. And that's nothing but one long book about gender bending. It's the most gender fluid book of the 20th century.
People are like, "What do you mean? What?
Oh, yeah.
I can do that now? Yep. People do things. People do things. They go to a party. You know, anyway. I said, "What does that mean?" She said, "Well, I just like people. Sometimes I like women, sometimes I like men." And I was like, "So you're bisexual?" She said, "No, my sexuality is going to continue." And she was emphatic about that.
No, she's pan.
I mean, so.
Yeah, because see, a bisexuality implies that there are only two. You know, you either like guys or you like girls. Mm-hmm. Problem is, there are agender people out there, and there are asexual people out there. And right. if you're open to all of it, you know, pan is Greek for all.
Right.
Same thing,
right.
Latin America, omni.
Mm-hmm.
Bi is just binary. So yeah, and I'm not if she was emphatic about it, I'm not surprised.
Well, and she was a lot smarter than me, and I started thinking about it. Then I understood it. I was like, "Oh, now I understand." And that, I mean, I'd always had friends who were like gay, just because, you know, some people are gay. I mean, what are you going to do? Say, "Oh, I'm not your friend anymore because you're gay." You know, what are you going to do? So, but that was new to me. Because it was like, damn, you know, because we were having like nasty, like serious, you know, but whatever. And that, you know, people be surprised. I think folks need to listen more to people and accept people for where they are, and, you know, who they are. And the world will be a better place, you know, because nobody wants to be shit on. Nobody wants to be made fun of. You know, people, especially now, I mean, we're doing the best we can. It's a fucked up world now. We've got, can you imagine, in 2023, we have a civilized country bombing hospitals and schools?
Yeah, I thought we made some rules about that.
Building. That's a fucking stick. That's what the fuck. That fucker needs to go, man. I know you're not supposed to kill people, but that fucker needs to be killed. Fuck him.
Well, I did read a story today that said Pooty has a horrible case of the assassination paranoids at this point.
He ought to. That fucker.
Yeah, he's doing that bad dab, you know, the shit gives you the paranoids.
The bad dab.
He's getting up in the morning doing that bad dab, and he ain't getting it done.
It ain't working for him. It ain't giving him the good vibes. No, no, no.
No, because you know, the ambassador can't bring over the good dab from the White House in the diplomatic pouch anymore now that Trump's out of there.
Well, I'm going to send you a link, man, where you can get some dab, like, legal, and I'm not, man, look, I'm telling you, this shit is...
You kidding? I walked past the CBD counter in the little hippie store over in Fayetteville, and I get high just walking past it, so, yeah. I'm a super duper double plus lightweight now.
Mm.
You know,
well,
I'm
a super duper.
Remember,
maintain my mental health.
Like two weeks after surgery. Remember, I got wasted out of my mind on one Delta 8 gummy. Damn near ate a whole half gallon tub of Bluebell homemade vanilla.
How long did it take to kick in? Because I have some, but I haven't eaten any yet.
Well, I never really noticed it kicking in. It's just that people are sick of this story, but I did it because Scary Jerry told me to, because I didn't want to take Neurontin for the nerve pain, which was bad. And I went and got it, and then while we were in Birmingham, we found this wonderful Chinese restaurant. So I ordered for us, and I, you know, gave her a gummy. I had a gummy.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't really paying attention. Next thing I know, I've wiped out my dinner. And she's like, well, I've eaten all I want. I was like, good, give it here. Wiped out hers. And then I start doing trips back at, you know, because if you get a whole bowl, you have to feel bad about it. But if you just leave the spoon on the counter next to the freezer, and you just go to the freezer, and you get out the Bluebell homemade vanilla half gallon out, still a half gallon, and get a big old bite, and I did that like four or five times, and I came back and looked.
You kept going back. You kept going back. That's a comeback.
Because
they cracked it. That's a comeback.
And after a while, I looked at Annette, and I said, oh, my God, I'm high as fuck, and I've got the munchies.
It's a creep.
And
up
God,
your head.
She laughed so hard, and eventually I'm like, you know, and that was back. We were watching The Great on Hulu. You know, the dark comedy about Catherine the Great. We were watching that, and so we got done with the episode. And I said, "Honey, I'm going to bed." And I went and laid down in the bed, and I got then I got the paranoids, and I could hear the gerbil on the wheel at the center of the universe.
No way, one gummy.
Yes, and I'm laying. I tell you, I'm a lightweight, and I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, what if I forget how to breathe?
Well, let me tell you, don't be dabbing.
And the next thing you know, I'm turning the light on.
Mm-hmm. Dude, don't dab. I'm going to tell you, don't. If you dab, you would have a counselor, like when you're like, taking acid. You got a guy. Yeah. You need somebody around you. Because that shit ain't, I mean, that should have you forget, man. I'm serious. It's like a trip. It's like a trip. Yo.
Did you make a yummy? Did you make a yummy sound? No, I didn't make a yummy sound. And by the way, we had a stream collapse while we were talking, but it is back now. And I just heard from Jude. She said, "We were just pondering, Robin, where our brother Todd was, and now here he is on the horn." My best to him and his better half. Feeling comforted, and I know your sharing will be filled with many great moments of insight and, yes, free-floating fun. In peace,
Jude. Thank you, Jude. Thank you. Jude is always with the words. He's got it. Yeah, you know. Oh, it is nice talking with you again.
Well, oh, it's great. It's great hearing from you. I've been worried about you. And I, and all this time, all this time, I didn't need to be worried because you're just out there toddling around in your new Maverick. Motherfucker.
Well, not it's not that simple. I mean, it just, you know, when people die, man, there's a lot of stuff.
I mean, oh, I know.
Old people having other old people.
Did you look at that Ranger? The new Ranger?
No, I didn't, actually.
Wanted the hybrid.
Do they have a hybrid?
No, not in the Ranger, but you can get the hybrid in the Maverick.
Well, that's why I was only going with the hybrid. That was the whole point. I'm serious.
Right,
I looked at the gas mileage. I was like, no. And I'm telling you, this truck, and I read the reviews. I know it's still new, but this is like the second or third year. It's
yeah, you never buy in the first model year.
No, that would be silly. And you know, I'm shoot, man. Like I'm very super impressed right now. This gas mileage, the daggone. I mean, it's got a little rattles in it, but this is an American car. What are you going to do? But, you know, ain't no Toyota, but still, it's very well made. You know, trucks are better. They're better made.
Is it on an actual frame or is it on a unibody? Do you know?
It's unibody. It's not a bolt on frame. It's unibody, and actually, it's a very good question because I'm going to tell you something. Now, just about not long ago, I had to rent a vehicle, and it was a pickup truck. It was a Chevy, that little good-looking one, the Colorado.
Oh, the Colorado, yeah.
But you know what? That sucker jumps around a little bit too much for me on the highway. It's a little narrow and a little high, and they look good on TV, but you got to be careful. And maybe this particular vehicle, somehow it's low to the ground, but it's still high up because it's still kind of wide and you've got a lot of clearance over the wheels and it's stable. It drives like a car. This is like the perfect. It's got four doors. It's got fucking.
Yeah, the cabin's roomy.
I thought it was going to be too small. When I went to the dealership and I sat in it, I was like, yeah, motherfucker, you know I ain't buying this shit from you. That's what I was thinking. I was like, mm-mm.
Yeah, because you're no shrinking violet. We tall.
Right. And I was like, hey, I'm not investing in it and I'm not comfortable in it. You know what I'm saying?
So right.
That would be silly. And so I feel this is exactly now I can get the wood and continue to work on my house and put cinder block because it's got 2,000. I got a trailer hitch. Not only that, a trailer hitch. It's got the out like in the payload. It's got the whatchamacallit, little boxes. Like I thought I already had it in there, but that was another option. But I'm going to have the outlet, like an AC outlet and a DC outlet in the payload, so that
nice.
When I go out to do. You said, man, I'm getting a motherfucking chop saw. You better fucking shit.
I get it. I so do.
Look, this is going to save me some money, man. I mean, come on.
Oh, I got to share this with you because it's from down home for you. Your neighbor, sibilance. Your neighbor. David in South Carolina, Stan, sent a note in. Blue dot Nazis. I live in a blue dot part of the state, and yet in the last week I've seen several cars with HH stickers, 3% stickers, flags with blue line stickers on them. Do not know if it's because I just read Jeff Charlotte's Undertow, so I'm more aware right now. It's scary. Well, let me give you a little sense of relief here. Given your neck of the woods, and I understand it might be what you think it is, but if it's that oval white sticker with the black border and it says HH, that's Hilton Head.
Wow.
But the thing is, they're so crafty, these little Nazis, they may be buying up the Hilton Head stickers so that they can, you know.
They might co-opt it.
Yeah.
See, this is what I've experienced. Do you understand? It disturbs me. We have a whole lot of, well, I guess it is now, because we're the same age around. why are these young people adopting this bullshit? Like, what the fuck?
Because the further away something gets in time, it gets both cooler and, you know, let's face it. The Nazis were the best dressed army of World War II.
Yeah, they had very good looking. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Hugo Boss designed the SS uniforms.
They ain't no joke. They had to, I mean, come on. We know we like to look at them because they look good.
Especially and they, you know, they died real good in them. But
it is what it is.
But the other thing that you can't discount is the fact that. The people doing the recruiting are all over the place. I mean, there are Nazis in the chat rooms of Minecraft, Nazis in the chat room of Zelda, Nazis. I mean, they're all over.
All the insults.
And Twitter, meanwhile, Twitter has gone completely to shit. And by the way, Leon Scum, that's an anagram for Elon Musk. Leon Scum paid $44 billion for Twitter. It is now worth $14
billion. Dan, wait a minute. Robin, would you please repeat those numbers again? Because I just want to be clear.
Yeah, Leon Scum bought Twitter for $44 billion. It is now worth $14 billion. Because one of the things he wanted to do was get rid of all the content moderation. And basically that was a matter of turning the Nazis loose. And so lo and behold, it turns out that, and maybe this kind of goes back to what we were talking about a minute ago. You know, you said, you know, why are they having this hissy about woke? Well, they're having a hissy about woke because a lot of corporations are saying, you know, we really don't want to advertise on Twitter because we don't really want the Nazi business.
Mm-hmm.
And the place is crawling with white nationalists, so to speak. I don't know why we don't just say Nazis.
Yeah, well, that's what they are. They've always been here. I mean, ain't nothing new. See, this is part of our problem is that, you know, we have a disease, and it's xenophobia and some other things. But when you have a disease, you know, when you break the word down, it's a dis-ease. And the first thing that you have to do is recognize the problem. Where is the infection? What's going on? And you see, and I have a real fucking problem. I'm so, you know what? This is why I love talking to you. Oh, my God. I love this shit. All right. So, let's remember at that last administration, the first attorney general, the fucking redneck margarita drinking motherfucker from Alabama, Jeff Sessions, So he refused to, he was concerned about Black Lives Matter when in fact all the evidence for years, I mean not just 1 year, 2 years, I mean years previous. This is the accepted evidence from the federal government. The largest threat to us is these domestic right-wing people, period. However, he chose to direct his message in his other way and talk about Black Lives Matter and other, you know, what he calls subversives.
Are you talking about Tommy the Tuber? You said Jeff Sessions. He's been out of government.
No, I'm talking about Jeff Sessions. That's how it started.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
And then he got the next guy with Witherspoon. You know, he looked like a damn skinhead from the Pacific Northwest. Now, and I'm biased. I said he looked like. I don't know what he's like, but he damn sure looked like it. And he damn sure acted like it. But my point is that don't start off with that shit. Deal with facts. The fact is, I'm sorry, white males are the biggest threat to this country right now. White males with guns, period. It ain't black people. I know we got young black men running around shooting each other, but they shoot each other. The general threat to society is these white males with guns. And with no dick and guns, they ain't getting no pussy. And that's the fucking problem. Because they don't know how to relate to people. They don't, you know, if they're married, they're in the midst of a terrible relationship. We see it all the time. So I'm just like, you know, we have to deal with what we know. So once again, and I'm going to say it, this is a PSA, a public service announcement.
Yes.
You know, facts and feelings. Now, I'm going to explain it again. This is a social scientist standpoint. Now, there's an adage that the truth hurts. And that is borne out in social science. You know, no, most people don't like to be uncomfortable because you don't want, you know, truth is too much. You don't want to deal with it. But that can get in the way of running a country, a society, a household, a lot of things. So we have to get back to where we understand the difference between facts and feelings. Because what I am observing as a social scientist is people, when they feel strongly about something, especially in this country, they feel like it's a fact. No matter what evidence you present to them, empiricism, it doesn't matter. I don't like teachers. I don't like that, blah, blah, blah. This is how I feel is the way it is. And that's a fucking problem. And until we can... See, to me, that's the major hurdle. Because until you tackle that, none of this other shit is going to matter.
Well, I love the fact that you brought up that, because that's a phrase that gets a lot of truck. you know, little Benny, my dry wife Shapiro is constantly, you know, because he's masculine. Facts over feelings. Facts over feelings. Actually, it's really fascinating. Facts over feelings. Facts over feelings. But I actually took that apart a few nights ago, and I said, you know, there's an easy way to kind of disprove that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Because if you were to strap him to a chair and do the G. Gordon Liddy candle thing with his hand, and as the candle began to burn the soft and tender part of his palm, you could look at him and say, Benny... Which is more important, facts or your feelings? Because I'm pretty sure that doesn't feel good. And boom, facts over feelings is dead.
See?
And the fun, but the funniest thing is, it's all a diversion. You know, everything with the right wing is either confession or projection. We said it a million times. It's all a diversion because the maggots are nothing but feelings over facts.
That's it. They just feel butthurt, and they're still butthurt.
But they have to, they have to hide behind that facts over feelings bullshit, because in fact they are entirely feeling driven. They feel aggrieved because, and looping back to the beginning of the program, because Chick-fil-A has a vice president of DEI.
Can you imagine that? They are right wing as a listen. They are. I don't even know how to explain that. That was when I heard that this morning, and I was listening to Jehoshaphat and
Jehoshaphat. Yep, right. Wait a minute.
I didn't have to explain any of that. That's funny as shit.
Explanation unnecessary.
So. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I mean, come on, man. That's like these people. It's the same thing as when these people claim, and this pisses me the fuck off. How in the FBI is some kind of left wing organization? Where the fuck have you not had a professional fucking job? Do you not understand how organizational dynamics works? Nobody, in other words, that mantra, that whole ethos of the FBI was started by you know who, and it carried on because that's just see, this is why motherfuckers got to go to school and go to college and learn sociology. It just fucking helps you in life when you're making decisions. So let me explain this real quick.
Okay, do all please.
Right. Real quick. So, because I wanted to spell this shit, so anybody who's got right wing people in their family, when you're having dinner, you can fucking blow them out the water with your verbiage. So, all right. We're starting off with J. Edgar Hoover. Very conservative, racist, and that's how he's going to hire. And that's a good job. That's a government job. You're not giving that job up.
right? You can stand in. Then they in turn hire because they're allowed to hire, and they hire people who their boss would like, which means right-wing conservative people. And that's what it's always been. I mean, so this is some bullshit. Don't these people hoodwink you? I mean, how stupid are these people? Are some Americans? I mean, read a little bit. The FBI is all, I mean, you can't, law enforcement, period. The courts, everything is right-leaning for a reason. And it might be a good thing. Not the FBI, but the courts. It might be a good thing to be slow and deliberate in the courts. I get that. But the FBI has been just overly conservative and white and racist forever. I mean, it's how it was born. So this don't, you know, these people have, I mean, this is like bizarre world. They're embracing Russia, even though we already know that the NRA has been infiltrated by the Russians. And we know what parties affiliates with the NRA. You know, so we have all this evidence. And yet, we still have these recalcitrant Americans who just, I mean, I don't know if they're just, like, racist or stupid or I don't know what the fuck is going on. But it's like I'm reading Pollard's book, The Lost. Pollard is one of these Lost Cause authors who wrote about the Civil War. And he's one of these people who was principal in rewriting The Lost Cause. Pollard, P-O-L-A-R-D. And I read this in my spare time at work. Now, only because it's interesting. Because, I like to see how these crazy motherfuckers think. You know, I'm a very good debater. I want to be ready. When motherfuckers come to do some stupid shit, I'm ready. Get the fuck out of here. I piss motherfuckers off. I don't give a fuck. You can't fuck with me. If you ain't got no intelligence, man, don't fucking come to me. Don't say no stupid shit to me. So, anyway, Powell, you know, Lost Cause. Are you familiar with Powell?
No, I'm not. I mean, certainly I know what the Lost, yeah. Wow, do I know what the Lost Cause is about? But no, I haven't read his work.
Well, Shelby Foote sucked Powell's dick for a number of years. So that's pretty much, I mean, not in a good way.
Run, old hair. If I was old hair, I'd run too.
I always loved how weepy Shelby got when he was talking about Pickett's charge.
This is totally different, but you don't know the pleasure it gives me when you occasionally play, you know what I mean, that music from Kenneth.
Yes, yes.
My beloved Chlamydia May, sitting here in camp around the fire. Wait, what's that out there in the woods? I'm sitting here around the campfire with the boys from the 33rd North Carolina Confederate Rifles. And I swear to God, there's something out there in the woods. Give him a gun. Bang! You dumb motherfucker, you just shot Stonewall Jackson. My dearest Chlamydia May, they are going to hang me in the morning because I done killed Stonewall Jackson.
Oh, God. I don't know how I got there. You know what? It's so nice to hear their voice in person. Honest to God. Mm-hmm.
Well, don't you worry us like that. You about had Jude half beside herself. She was worried. I was worried. But I did, and I got to thinking, oh damn! I bet he's trying to call the old number. Because that number was associated with that old Skype account with my dead name, which I'm really tired of seeing, hearing.
Okay. Right.
And so I got to get a new Skype number to go with the new Skype account.
Okay. Well, I'm then. It's a good thing I call when I do. Now I get it.
But now I got a new tech nightmare to deal with because I can't figure out why in the living tarnation daylights the damn stress line won't come on or won't connect.
Well,
and it was, and it just beats cats fucking. I don't know what's going on.
Well. I'll be honest with you. I think there's some worldwide hacking going on. because I know, like, I work for a municipality, and there's no way our email should be out for a week. A week? Do you know I'm still catching up? I mean, this is real shit. This is a business. Bills, all kind of shit. A week?
That can fuck you up.
Yeah. You know, that means to me, they didn't say it, but I think they got hacked. That's what I think. That's just crazy. I don't know about all that.
And all the IT pros out there are going, doing the Captain Picard head in the hand thing, going, oh no, a user.
He's so funny.
I remember Peter Godbold used to say, you know what the worst part about working with computers is? And I said, no, Peter, honey, the users. Computers would be great if there weren't users.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, you know, the IT folks are nice, but this is what I don't get. Why don't we have a dedicated... This, I try to explain this to damn administrators. You know, I might know what the fuck I'm talking about. Like, I'm at the end of my career. I've seen a lot. And it makes no sense for a municipality not to have a dedicated IT team, even if it's three people. Because
I bet the municipality has a dedicated preacher.
But it's dangerous, and this is, I'm gonna tell you why. And it's something for everyone to think about. Now, let's say you're a hacker, and you know how people got these lists for voting. I mean, all this shit is available. A lot of demographics are just publicly available to all kind of foreign entities, so they can figure out who is the IT provider for a municipality, which means they're holding a bunch of accounts. It's not just us; it's a bunch of people. So why would you have another entity holding your information when it can be compromised and you won't even know it? You see, you won't even know it. It's easier for them to get into to a second or third party than it is to us. And then we could find out exactly where it's coming from. I mean, I don't understand this. This is. I mean, what is it? Is this slow Southernism? What? I mean, I don't understand this.
I know. I don't either. But I just got... See, I knew this would happen. Lee in New York, who's in IT...
What?
Just wrote and said, IT fact, no system is foolproof. Fools are ingenious. Signed, Lee in New York City and cyberspace.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been hacked twice already. And it's like, why would you have, if you've been hacked twice already, why would you have somebody else, a third party, holding all your shit when it's easy to find out that other people know that you're holding our stuff?
You know what happened? Todd? The mayor probably opened his Facebook Messenger one day and saw a message from a long-lost old buddy that he hadn't heard from in 40 years, and the message just said, did you know about this person who died in a car crash, and clicked the link, and got the whole system hacked?
We get it every day, and I'm telling you, folks are not savvy. We still have a whole lot of people who won't. They won't look at the URL. It's like, oh, CZZ, CZX, or, you know, MSDZ. Man, don't open that.
Don't open that shit.
Just delete it. Dude, stop it.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned it before. Ever since, you know, I changed. I one of my hobbies now is blocking sketchy Facebook follows or Instagram follows, and the description will it'll show some dude you know they're stolen photos. I'm sure there are stolen photos of me out on sites now. But it shows some dude, and he's usually got like a 3 days growth of beard, and it says, I am loving farther. And
what does that mean?
Father, only they can't spell. It's farther.
Oh. Yeah.
and am American U.S. military personnel stationed on life-saving humanitarian mission in Yemen. And you're like, and the thing is, I look at that and I go, who falls for that?
You're supposed to believe that? Like, that sounds like some bullshit. I'm just saying.
I mean, I was born that night, not last night.
Yeah, so.
And it's just gross, and it's all over the place. Hey, I need to send out a thank you because we're running out of program here. Thank you to an anonymous friend who finished off Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge for the first day of the month, so our $1,790 fundraising goal went down to $1,190, which is wonderful. We finished May in a big old deep old hole, and still standing down here with the mud in the bottom of the well kind of oozing into my my Manolo Blahnik pumps, but they're going to be hard to clean. That stuff's gooey down at the bottom of the well, and I mean it'll suck the platform heels right off your foot.
Well, that's good news. Very good news.
Yes. I'm just so glad you called.
You know what? I'm glad I called too, and I'm glad that I was able to get in touch with you, and I'm glad you're doing okay. And it was nice to hear from Jude and Clarence and anybody else who was thinking, and I'm okay.
Yeah, your neighbor David.
Dave, and I'm spreading love to everyone. And you know what? We got to keep on keeping on, keep our heads up amidst this insanity. And that's all I can say.
I mean, it's weird enough here. I can't imagine what it's like for you.
Ralph Norman, let me tell you something. He's my representative.
I thought of you when I saw that mushmouth son of a bitch down there, you know, barking and grunting about the debt ceiling.
I mean, I don't understand these people. I really don't.
Well, as we say up here, that man's dumber in the head and the hog is in the ass. But they all are. They're not the thee-dumb carcass. They're just a dumb-dumb carcass.
But he got them greenbacks, and that's what matters.
You're getting paid.
He's a real estate developer. And he got shit. He got a lot of shit. That nigga run. He run a lot of shit. I mean, he's powerful. Don't nothing move without his say.
Okay, so I just got a message. You got a big howdy from Arnold in PA.
Hey.
Arnold said. I worked for a law firm with 55 lawyers, some of the dumbest shit I've ever seen in the IT world. And then adds, the Maverick is a good choice. It's much better than the Bronco. I love my Fords. Arnold's a Ford guy.
Well, thanks, Arnold. And you know, I'm really happy. I'm really happy so far. And I'm like, you know what? I think it's going to work out.
And that's the thing. I'm seeing those Broncos all over the place. And
well,
it's good. Arnold knows of which he speaks. So if Arnold says stay away from the Bronco, I'm staying away from the Bronco.
Well, it's not like I'm
car anyway, but you know.
No, but he's right. They didn't see. I didn't pipe in, but now he brought it up. Yeah, they got plenty of problems. That Bronco, man, they ought to be shelved. It's got massive issues. They've been catching on. They've been doing all kinds.
Have they been doing the Leon scum thing and just spontaneously catching fire?
There have been reports. There have been reports, and they're like they told everybody just park your shit for a minute. That's fucked up. Like, park your shit. That means that when you get ready, how long is it going to take, you know, to get it fixed? But then I looked at the Maverick, and I was like, okay, this is second or third year. I know it's not that much, but everybody was like, well, you know, it's this and that. But daggone, it's a real – and it's true. Man, this is a real truck. And it's got – man, look, I'm happy. And it, you know what? It's got – the miles are so low, if it don't work out, I'll just sell it, and I'll go to Toyo back, you know, because I really like a 4Runner, but I need a truck.
Yeah.
Because Toyo doesn't make that little tiny truck anymore.
I'm surprised, Dodge Ram hadn't come out with something, and then who knows, they may.
They may. They're competitive. They might, you know, they may. But I know you got to, you know, it was so nice catching up with you.
Oh, it just made my night.
You know what?
I was supposed to be at a do in Charleston this evening. I actually said I was yesterday. I said I wasn't going to be on the air, but then you know what I do? It's like, no, Robin, don't, no, no, you should be there, but no, miss it. Got to be on air. So,
well, you know what? This program keeps you going, and it keeps a lot of other people going. So,
and that's it, and that, you know, that just warms my soul, but, you know, because I hear from so many people saying, you know, I count on you. And I had a note, I had a note actually over on Patreon the other day that, shame on me, hi, James, that he sent back in April that I'd never seen before. I didn't know he sent messages on Patreon. But he said, I count on you and Malloy and Sam Cedar to keep me sane.
I mean, you know, it's the truth, man.
Well, you know, if you listen to me, and you come away and you go, hey, at least I'm not as fucked up as she is. you know, you're good.
Well, you know what's interesting? Listen to Sean Hannity, then listen to you, and then you figure it out.
I'm sorry.
Sean Hannity, he's dangerous. I think he is worth. I mean, Tucker is gone, but he is the next. He's got to go. He's dangerous. That fucker just lies. He lies every one, two, every third fucking.
I just
quarter.
Don't know what he's been. I don't know what he's done since Limbaugh died. Because basically, he was just stealing Limbaugh's shtick. Oh, I got it. Ooh, I got to tell you. So when I bolted out of here to go after the Enchirito last night. Damn it, Tracy. I always have National Petroleum Radio going in the car.
Right.
And it was it was a replay of the previously in the days Fresh Air. Mm-hmm. And it was an interview with the guy behind the new documentary about Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Fappy Thomas. And
wait a minute. Do you mean the one on Frontline?
Is it?
Wait a minute. I can't be that many. That fuck. If it's what, yo, that is, it's scathing. That fucker. I'm not. Please finish, because I'm.
Okay, because I just it just flabbergasted me because. I was just pulling into Taco Hell, and I actually pulled into a slot and parked because I wanted to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Before I picked up my order. My enchirito was getting right. cold over this.
Right.
But the guy, and I never caught the names, but the guy being interviewed said that after the Anita Hill hearings, well, at one point, okay, so you know how Pat Buchanan told that story of Nixon walking alone on the beach with his shoes in his hand in a suit after he resigned.
Right.
And we were all supposed to feel bad for the old fucker. Well, it was kind of the same thing after the Anita Hill revelations, you know, after he got done perjuring himself and whatnot. I forget who it was. It'll come to me in a second. But somebody went and visited. Oh, I know who it was. It was John Danforth. Had been then senator from Missouri, and Fappy had worked for John Danforth when he was Attorney General of Missouri. Mm. And so John Danforth was a dear, dear friend. And John Danforth went and visited him, and he was literally curled into a fetal ball on his bed.
Nixon was.
No, Fappy.
Oh.
Fappy was. And from that day forward, the interviewee described, Fappy stopped consuming any mainstream media. He canceled his subscription to the Washington Post. He canceled the subscription to the New York Times. Wouldn't watch TV.
Oh, that's dangerous. Wouldn't,
it's gonna get worse. So he just wouldn't consider, and went on and said, and from that day forward, his primary sources of current events information was his wife Jenny, who is just one big bag of paranoid cat conspiracy theory lady.
Damn.
You know, the woman who tried to help overturn the government. And then he said, and as well, he became friends with a very wealthy white man. And I'm thinking, and I'm thinking, oh, here comes Har Har, thinking it'd be Harlan Crow. And so the dude became friends with a very wealthy white man, dot, 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 two count, Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, right.
And so from that day forward, Fappy's two primary sources of information about the world and nation in which he lived were his paranoid conspiracy theorist wife and Rush Limbaugh.
Well, he's corroded. He's fucked up.
He's brainwormed.
He's got so many issues. He has no business. He has mental health issues. And so that sounds like that Frontline documentary. And they also show in what you saw the juxtaposition of Fappy claiming that he liked the RV life. They're showing his footage. You know, he's like, oh, I love this simple life. I like simple things. And then they juxtapose that with them on these yachts, these like multi
yucking it up and drinking champagne through a straw.
Yeah. That shit.
I drink Bailey's from a shoe.
He's got to go, man. I'm sorry. I don't give a fuck if he's the first black. I don't care about that shit. I want the best person for the job. And you know, I know we need. I believe in some set aside where it's necessary because some institutions just refuse to do the right thing, and I get that. But we need the best people for the job. That motherfucker is a goddamn token. He's disgusting. He's fucked up. He got some white fever going on. I don't know what the fuck his problem is.
Did you say but white fever? Did you say
crazy ass bitch?
Did you say white fever?
Yeah. I mean, damn.
Some.
I mean, like really.
Some mayo fever.
Like, if you're going, I mean, seriously. Like you got all, I mean, come on, man. You could do better. Now you got this fat, nasty old white woman who's fucking getting you in trouble. And you could have been with anybody. It is not just necessary that she's white, but it's necessary that she's just fucking nasty. She's a nasty bitch. That bitch is fucking nasty. I've watched her. I've been studying her. She's a fucking nasty bitch.
Oh, she's gross. Yeah, and her bullshit $120,000 a year job doing nothing?
Doing nothing and talking shit about other people. And so don't get me wrong when I say, you know, I don't mean like marriage, because I don't care. You got to find love where you can find it. But damn, how low are you going to scrape? You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. That's some bullshit. Now you got us all in trouble because of your fucking bullshit, Mr. Fappy. Dumbass. Get the fuck out of here. Gotta go, man. It's all right. His time is coming. I think he fucked up. His time is coming.
Well,
he fucked up.
Ain't nobody gonna impeach him, I reckon. But damn.
Well, John Roberts, he has to fucking go too. He pussy ass. He couldn't even fucking do Obama's speech right. He couldn't get him fucking signed in properly. He was like, oh god damn it. Wait, what? My Negro, I gotta do it. They had to do it in private because he couldn't get his shit together. So, fuck Tim Scott. That's the fuck I'm saying. Tim Scott's a fucking weirdo. Fuck him. America's not racist. You know, I don't know what the fuck kind of crack he's smoking.
Well,
I know it went off.
I just had to bring that up. Todd, it's been wonderful. Please don't be such a stranger.
Okay.
And when I get the new number to associate with the new Skype account, I'll let you know.
Thank you very much.
You have a great evening.
Thank you.
Don't do nothing but the good dab, dude.
All right.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Todd.
my buddy Todd, after a month and a half, no, 2.5 months, glad he's okay. Thank you to Jude for jumping in. We are now down to 1180. Jude said, for tonight's interchange, peace, dear Todd, and to you too, dear Robin, and to you as well, dear Jude. Thank you. Okay, so that's the program. Friday on the front porch tomorrow. If I don't, you know, run it. No, I'm not going to run away from something. I'm not going anywhere. I was joking. That was a joke. Friday on the front porch tomorrow. And let's see. And I've still got the other gun story yet. And this is gonna. I mean, I read it and it made me bark like a howler monkey. It was, I mean, the goddess of irony was good on this one. Really good. Remind me tomorrow, please. Thanks, everybody. Thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much for meeting Bruce and Karen's Memorial Challenge, starting with Max. Thank you, Max, so much. And thanks to the people who make the matching money available. Ralphs and Chris in Germany and our anonymous friend. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. That means thanks to Roger in Oregon. Thank you so much. Sorry about the dropout on the stream. Don't know what happened. Absolutely baffled and bamboozled over that. No earthly idea. Maybe we'll figure out. Well, I hope it doesn't happen again. But I do have to sort. I got to sort out the problem with the stress line. Who knows? We'll get there. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Remember, like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow it. Leave a comment. It really helps. And it doesn't cost anything. Thank you. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster if you're eligible, even if you have to pay for it. Or 65 and over, probably get Medicare and you won't. Wear your mask around the maggots. They're disease spreaders. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer. Keep your social distance. And if the clanny granny comes down the sidewalk screeching and shrieking about, well, I wasn't afraid to vote against it. I just didn't vote against it. Didn't vote for it neither. And I'll avoid her like the plague. Because she is. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Later.